And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnie, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Rain, rain, go away. Come back some other year.
Can we play some baseball? Let's go. We need practice.
I know. I'm with you, man.
We got wet fields all over the place. We can't get out there.
We're doing indoor stuff, but we're ready to get outside.
We're ready to get outside.
We're going to scrimmage on Sunday, and I haven't even looked at the forecast. We have a scrimmage with another team on Sunday, and I didn't even look to see if that
let me help
if it's going
to
happen.
We've already had to bag two scrimmages this week.
I know. It's crazy.
Okay, Sunday.
Now, this is on Wednesday, so subject to change, but for today.
Darren?
Not good?
No. No, it's good.
Really?
It's real good. It's good.
Don't be messing with me.
It's good. It's real good. Mostly cloudy.
That's okay.
It's all right.
That's fine.
63.
Oh, in.
0% chance of rain.
Way in.
You're good.
Way in.
All right.
You're good.
Did you hear that? Long wave blue, we're on.
As long as the field. As long as the field dries up.
You know what? The fields have been really good. As long as, what is this supposed to be the rest of the week?
Today we got some rain, got showers, and then we got an ad. We got showers, and then tomorrow, sunny, high of 46, no rain, and then it's like 20%.
Oh, we're good. We're good.
Good. Weren't they talking about snow?
Yeah, no, that's maybe today.
But it's a low of 28.
Yeah. That's maybe.
But then
today.
Tomorrow's 46.
Yeah.
So people don't freak
out.
Supposed
to have a lacrosse game today.
Yeah, that's not happening. I don't know if you've been told, but that's not happening.
You think we're going to have to bag the lacrosse game?
Yes. Well, I don't know how do they play in the element. What's the elements?
You can play in the rain in lacrosse.
Well, it's
sure.
supposed to snow. They play in snow.
There probably have been games played in the snow.
I would say up north, if they, you know, they play lacrosse. They play in the snow.
The question is, you know, can we find another date later on that will be better than today? I think that's the issue. And how was the field?
Look, my son had I've never even heard of this before this year, playing basketball for the first time. He had a game canceled due to inclement weather. I was like, what?
I can do one better.
Excuse me?
They playing outdoors?
No, it was not an outdoor game. It was not a stadium series. Nope.
I've seen that happen.
They play in a gym.
Like, right. But you know, you can't get to the gym. Is that one of those things? Like,
no,
I've seen icy conditions where like the league says, hey,
no.
It was don't come to the gym.
There was a lot of threats of tornadoes all day. This was like three, four weeks ago on a Saturday when we had I think flooding. Remember when we had the crazy weather?
Yeah.
The snow, the floods, the tornadoes, and all that. Oh, my.
So my junior
year.
I think
there were some bears and tigers and lions.
There were. My junior year in high school, we're at FRA, and we have, I forget who we're playing, but they have JV games and then the varsity games, girls and boys. So, I mean, it's a packed schedule starting at like 4 o'clock. Halfway through the girls' JV game, the HVAC unit in the gym starts leaking. Like there's like a drip on the court. Okay, it's not that bad at that point.
You can get past that.
So basically my job became whenever they'd go down to the other end of the court, I'd have to run out with a towel, dry it off real quick, and then get off the court for them to come back.
That's not good.
So we did that for a little bit. Well, then the drip got a little worse.
A little heavier.
Then as everybody's getting there for the varsity games, because they just scrap the boys' JV game so they can try and fix it. Well, it gets worse. Everybody's there for the girls' game. They end up having to cancel both games because it's just pouring on the court. And so the Tennessean actually had a picture of a student holding an umbrella in the gym, and it was like the game canceled on account of rain. But that's basically what it was.
Be honest. Did you get Peter Mrazek'd during the game?
Did I get Peter Mrazek'd?
Yeah. Did you get housed during the game? Did you get caught?
No.
Did you get caught out there and they came the other way? And
no.
Chase McAbee couldn't get off and he got housed?
I came close, but I'm not quick. But
so you did Frogger. You got in and out of traffic?
I got in and out of traffic.
Okay.
In and out of traffic.
You haven't heard of Peter Mrazek because I just made it up. But that's what happened in Toronto. He got housed.
Yeah, well,
he came out for that decision. We can talk about this with Chris Mason, the awful decision that the goalie has, and Willie, your daughter experienced this in soccer. that awkward spot where it's like, I can go get it, or do I stay?
Oh, yeah.
That weird spot of I can get that, but if I don't get that, this is going to be bad news.
I've had my heart skip a beat more than once watching my daughter make that decision. The sliding play.
Well, that's what Peter Mrazek did, and he got housed.
He got housed. Fortunately, my daughter has not had that happen.
She never got ran over?
She has had one concussion, but not in a play like that. But she's had many times where I always just hold my breath hoping that moment isn't going to happen. It does. It happens a lot in soccer, for sure.
Oh, isn't it girls soccer that has huge concussion numbers?
Yeah, for different reasons, not just for plays like that, collisions, but just heading the ball repeatedly.
Yeah.
It's almost like the offensive lineman, you know, the constant banging after every snap with the collision between the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman. It's that type of thing, heading the ball sometimes for the girls' soccer players.
Typical, you know, Predators, especially home game. Because, you know, I feel like an 8-year-old, because you just take in there's just so much going on, and you can't, it's hard to shut down when you get home. So I watched the new Real Sports, the latest one. Have you guys seen it?
I have not. I ended up watching the end of Lakers-Pelicans.
That was on.
That's what I watched when I got home.
Or no, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was the highlights.
Yeah.
I watched the highlights. LeBron seemed to get up for that game against Zion.
Yeah, but he had some praise for Zion after the game, too.
So one of the pieces was on Trevor Bauer. Did you guys know this?
No. Tell us.
I've got to be honest. I've charted Trevor Bauer's career. Obviously, he was a former Indian. Now he's in Cincinnati. He's not what I mean, everybody thinks he's, you know, he's obviously a little bit off his rocker, or a lot off his rocker, and a little bit crazy, and he had the incident with Francona last year, but I really didn't know much about him other than I just thought he was a weird pitcher. Like, I felt like he should have been a left-hander, because usually those are the weird ones.
Flaky.
Sorry, Willie. But
no, I get it.
That's usually the weird ones are the lefties. It was an interesting piece. He's actually really, really intelligent, probably too smart for his own good. I didn't know the whole backstory on him. Like, he's a nerd.
Total.
He's a complete and utter nerd. Just him and his dad, like, basically studying the physics of baseball and everything. And I know.
Put a lot of science behind it.
Yes. And, like, he does basically everything they do, like teams do, he does the opposite. So you knew some of this?
Oh, yeah.
He's been that pitchers go through the regimen.
It's been a very difficult thing for the established pitching coaches that he's worked with to handle.
No doubt. He's had to admit that he rubs people the wrong way, and a lot of it is that. Like, he does not conform to what they want him to do. He's going to do what he wants to do. Basically, the concoction that him and his dad came up with in a lab. I mean, he just does things different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. I really didn't know that. I just thought he was a kooky dude.
Well, he is a kooky dude.
Well, you're right.
But there's motive behind the madness.
You're right. There is something at least behind
it. He's a mad scientist.
His point was, okay, I'll try what you want me to do, but you need to tell me why. Like, right. I'm not going to do it just because you say to do it. You need to tell me why it benefits me.
Right.
Tell me why I should do it your way. I think my way is the better way.
Exactly. And a lot of times the answer from the pitching coach is
because that's how
I was taught by my coaches, and so that's how I'm teaching you.
But that's what separates.
Have you studied at science, the physics? No. 90% of baseball people have not. They just
right.
And there's plenty of value in how those coaches approach it. But Trevor Bauer has taken it to new levels, definitely.
That's what separates the good coaches from the great coaches. Of if you have an individual player that just maybe they're not conventional.
Yeah, sometimes
they do it their way.
Let them go.
Let them be them.
If you're getting the results,
right?
Just like hitting coaches. Like, there are some people who, you know, if I try to put my hitting philosophy onto you as your new hitting coach, but you're a guy that's been a 10-time All-Star, why should I tell you to change how you're hitting? Like, a good hitting coach just takes somebody who's a established hitter and say, hey, let me know how I can help you. Do your thing, man. I don't want to mess with your swing. That's a tricky job.
See, you guys learn just to let me be me. And
That's right.
And now look at me.
The constable.
The constable.
That's not necessarily true.
We don't let him be him?
No, you've been you, but you've been willing to learn along the way and hone your craft. But yeah, still being you.
I was just making a joke, but yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, I am who I am.
You were, and you ended with a bang yesterday.
I did. Thank you, Twitter. You were so kind.
You certainly...
I had some fun with
that. The fireworks, you were the grand finale
as we
wrapped up the show yesterday at Pete and Terry's.
You never know what's going to happen.
What is the... The thing that he uses, it's like a bow that you shake, like this long piece of plastic that's obviously flexible, and that's what he does. That's like
to strengthen his shoulder?
Yes. That's what he's always done. That's been like his big regimen, and that's what you'll see him doing all the time is like a certain pitcher. Well, most pitchers do a certain thing in between starts.
Yeah.
That's
you're talking about the band thing?
No, it's not the band.
A lot of pitchers do the band.
Yep, no, not that. Like, he doesn't ice. Does not believe in it.
Yeah.
He said he thinks it's the dumbest thing going.
Well, that's...
All these pitchers
he's
with
not
the
alone.
Big ice wraps. He's like, it makes no sense.
He's not alone in that. I think that some different, even athletic trainers have differed on whether a pitcher should
but
ice.
They're showing, like, as he's saying that, they're showing all these pictures of all these Major League Baseball...
A lot of people do it, yeah.
...pitchers just sitting there with these big, huge ice wraps on their shoulders and arms, and he's like, it's
aren't there
so
some
dumb.
That believe that you if you keep using, you know, a lot of pitchers will just rest and not even use their arm when they're off, and then they get ready for their next start. But aren't there some that believe the more you use it, the better off your arm's going to be?
Yes. I think there's something to be said for building arm strength.
Right.
Right? You have to build it. And what's David Weathers used to say all the time, you'll rust out before you wear out.
His big thing is, if I'm not mistaken, was the long toss.
Long
right?
toss, yeah.
Long toss. He's
and Trevor
like
Bauer
big
is big into that, too.
The long toss. I remember David Weathers would always harp on.
And that's a time-tested thing that's been going on for a long time. But Trevor Bauer definitely is big on that.
By the way, we have not mentioned this, and shame on us as we need to head to the break. But we need to throw out a congrats to Kevin Jarvis, his son. We forgot to mention this on Monday.
How about that?
He pitched a perfect game for Duke.
Yep. Perfect
very,
game.
Very, very cool.
He's a sophomore. He pitched. No?
He's a junior.
Is he a junior?
Yeah.
I thought he was a sophomore.
No, he was drafted last year, as a sophomore eligible. So he's either a junior or a senior now.
Oh, okay. My bad. I thought he was younger than that. Doesn't matter. He pitched a perfect game in college baseball. Like, how many perfect games have there been?
I was asking Kevin about that. I think there have been 31.
Oh, okay. That's more than I thought.
But I think but think about how long they've been playing college
baseball.
And
there's a lot of games.
I think the number is more like 18 that have been in the, I guess, legit range. But that was amazing. Cornell, Division I team. It's not like they played a Division III school.
Right, he didn't play Cuyahoga Community College.
That is, he's going places, that kid. He's the guy, if you don't know who he is, he went to Brentwood Academy, went to Duke, and he pitched up against Kumar Rocker.
And the Supers here.
In the no-hitter.
Yes.
The 19-strikeout no-hitter in the Super Regional. Duke was one win from the College World Series. He pitched a great game. He happened to be going against the guy that pitched an incredible game, a 19-strikeout no-hitter. But
so congratulations.
Yeah,
that
fantastic.
We forgot. We failed to mention that. That was shame on our part. We should have brought that up on Monday, and I wanted us to. All this talk, it sparked that. All right, we'll come back. We'll head over to the campus of Belmont. We'll talk to Adam Kunkel. We'll do that next on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They'll be playing basketball tomorrow night, Curb Event Center. Belmont hosting Tennessee Tech. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, we speak to the Bruins guard, Adam Kunkel, who's on the line with us. Adam, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. I grew up in Lexington, and I've got to be honest, I don't know where Hebron is. Where is Hebron?
Hebron's it's northern Kentucky area.
Oh, so you're up more towards Cincinnati, the border?
Yeah. I'd say Hebron's about 10 to 15 minutes south of Cincinnati.
Okay, so Cooper High School. I was drawing blanks. I mean, I know it's been a while. I don't get back much, so, but I was like, I'm not familiar with that area of Kentucky, so it's the northern part. Okay. How did you end up here at Belmont? Tell us your story.
I mean, I was just playing basketball at Cooper, just growing up around the northern Kentucky, Cincinnati area. And then I'd say around my end of sophomore year, starting junior year is when I started getting some college looks. And then once I heard Belmont was interested in me, they started talking to me a little bit. I went on two visits. I went on an unofficial with my mom and an official visit with my dad. And once I came down here, I absolutely fell in love with it. Fell in love with the culture that they're building around here, the campus in Nashville. It's beautiful. And then just loved what Coach Bird had with the basketball program. The guys, what I was looking for when I was looking for schools was just like the brotherhood and how close the teammates are and how well they get along and play together. And I think Belmont just fit that perfectly going along with the playing style of basketball. So I think all that just fit me. And, I mean, once I came on my official with my dad pretty much told me he thinks I would be stupid if I didn't commit here. So, and I couldn't agree with him more. I think this is definitely the place for me.
That's strong words from Dad. You would be stupid, son,
yes,
if you
sir.
Don't go there. Well, you made the right choice, and there certainly is a lot to love with Belmont's campus and this city and certainly basketball and all the success the Bruins have had. So there's no surprise, you know, the likes of you and Murray State, that we've been accustomed to those two at the top battling for a long time, and now you add Austin Peay into the mix, and I know they had a nice season last year, so they've built off of that. I think what stands out to me, Adam, being here two decades plus now and kind of watching how the OVC plays out, usually it's those teams that I said kind of the haves and a lot of have-nots, yeah. But I don't really feel that way this year. I feel like it's, you know, it's very competitive night in and night out. Do you agree?
Yeah, no doubt. I think this year the OVC just in general, like across the board, is just a lot more competitive. I wouldn't say a lot more up for grabs, but there's definitely a bunch more teams that are coming out every night, giving you their best, and games are definitely more competitive. Obviously, with Austin Peay and Murray State, but there's other two top teams. They got a bunch of pieces, and it's fun to go out and play against them.
Talk about your season thus far as you guys are getting close to winding things down in the regular season and heading to Evansville for your conference tournament. But obviously, you lead the team in scoring. Just tell us about you on a personal note. How have you felt it's been thus far?
Yeah, I felt this year has been a great year. Obviously, coming from last year, not averaging too many minutes, but still just trying to do my role and do what's best for the team to get the team W's. This year has been a lot different for me in my role, as my role has changed to becoming a scorer and becoming that leader on the team. I've just been working on my craft every day, trying to become a better leader for these guys. Obviously got a bunch of great teammates that helped me do that. And this year has just been a great year so far. We're going to try to keep focusing on game by game, try to get some momentum going into this tournament.
We're talking to Adam Kunkel, leading scorer for the Belmont Bruins. They are in action at home on Thursday against Tennessee Tech, and then they end the regular season Saturday over at the Gentry Center against Tennessee State. That's going to be a fun one. Adam, you just kind of hinted at it, but I would think that's a challenge for anybody who was a successful high school player like yourself. You come into a team, you probably felt like there were times last year you could have helped, but you had to be a role player, probably for the first time in your life. So how tough was that, and how did you get through it?
Yeah, I'd definitely say it was tough just knowing that I want to do as much as I can to help the team win. But every coach I've had growing up has just pretty much told me, like, know your role and do your role to the best of your ability. So that's what I kind of took on last year. As last year, I feel like my role was just come in and impact the game any way I could, just defensively get rebounds, and then score the ball when I get the opportunity to. But it was great to be able to have that year and just get a different feel for the game and see the game a different way. And just having Dylan Windler and Kevin McLean above me, that I think that really helped me out and just helped me helped me get up to this part of basketball and just the college game and just how different it is.
Let me ask you about a fellow sophomore on your team who's had a great year, Nick Musinski, a guy who, in this day of college basketball, you don't often see guys with the array of moves, kind of old school on the post, the way he can do it. He's so efficient down there. What's he been like to play with? And you guys came in the same time. I'm sure it's exciting to have a guy alongside of you that you're playing and probably will be playing with for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely exciting. Having him in there in the post definitely opens up a lot more for me, being able to play in and out and just feed him and let him go to work. He's definitely one of the most skilled big men I've played with, has great touch. So being able to have him in there definitely opens a lot of stuff up for our guards this year.
You've had a couple of really good battles with both Murray State and Austin Peay, as Darren was saying, the two other teams that are right there at the top of the league. So as you assess those guys, as you mentioned, this is a deep league and you got to watch out for everybody here. But do you feel like as you come out of it, as you start eyeing the tournament, that you guys match up with well? What have you learned about that opposition during the course of the year?
Yeah, definitely. I think we just learned is just that if we all five, all the whole team, if we stay locked in and stay focused for 40 minutes of the game, I think we can. Even if we don't score the ball as well, that defensively is what's going to win us this tournament. So we just got to stay locked in, stay together. And obviously Murray State and Austin too are both big time teams. They got a bunch of talent, got pieces everywhere. But yeah, I just think mainly just think just focusing on ourselves, focusing on staying locked in all 40 minutes, and just keep doing this thing.
Adam Kunkel is with us from Belmont, and you started this off talking about the culture that Rick Bird had there, and that was what drew you in. What has the transition been like, albeit you only played a year for Coach Bird, between him and Casey Alexander?
Honestly, there's a lot of similarities, just because those two have been together a while. But I'd say intensity is just the main difference for me, just how much more intense practices are and just how intense games are. Everything's it's just a whole lot. But no, I like having Casey on the coaching staff now is great. Having him there, he's pushing us to the best of our abilities, and I think he's getting a lot out of us this year, and I think we enjoy playing for him.
Is it helpful too when you, as you mentioned, that they're similar, that you have some of that you know it's going to be different? You know, when there's a coaching change, obviously Coach Bird retired, you want to have a little bit of something different, but to have some similarities that keeps the continuity going?
Yeah, absolutely. Having those similarities definitely help keeping the team even keel, and also having Coach Ayers on the staff still is a great asset to our team. I think he brings a lot to the table, and yeah, like you said, I just think those similarities help keep our team just that even keel, and just knowing that it's the same, but there's a lot of differences, and we still got a lot of work to put in.
Was it pretty cool to be a part of when they put Coach Bird's name on the court, when they now he's honored forever having his name there?
Absolutely, being able to be there and be a part of that was an unbelievable experience.
Adam, I want to ask you one more on the way out here, and we were just talking about the OVC tournament. We were just having an argument coming into the show today about the Rookie of the Year. Our morning show was making a case for Zion Williamson, but John Morant is the guy that probably is the front runner. It's been amazing to watch him. What I'm sure you're glad that he's not in a Murray State uniform this year, but what has it been like? I mean, just watching him go and excel at the NBA level and knowing that you've gone up against him, what did you think? Did you know he was going to be this good?
I would say I did, just because, like you said, being able to go up against him in that Murray State uniform, I mean, we knew his skill set going into the games we were playing him, and just being able to see him put on at that bigger stage, just seeing him go and do his talent and perform is unbelievable. Being able to play against him, it's pretty cool to say. I don't think many people could say that, and I definitely think he should be the front runner for the MVP. He should win that.
Adam, being a Northern Kentucky guy, did you follow the Reds? Was that your baseball team since you were a close proximity?
It was, yes, sir. The Red Legs, yes, sir.
Yeah, you should go up to your coach and tell him, go Reds.
Yeah, he's a Cubbies fan. That's tough.
He'll love it. Go tell him, go Reds. Big Red Machine.
You. Yes, sir.
Adam, thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it. Go get him tomorrow night, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Nice talking to you.
All right. Nice talking to you. Adam Kunkel has had a tremendous season, averaging over 17 points for the Bruins. They will be at home tomorrow night versus Tennessee Tech. We will talk to Teron Davenport to kick off the second hour up in Indianapolis at the Combine. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Stuff from Adam Kunkel. Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him coming up at noon. Looks like they're about to reach an agreement, huh? I guess.
It looks that way.
We'll ask him his thoughts on that as a former player. Chris Mason at 1 o'clock, our weekly chat with him. And Teron Davenport up in Indianapolis at the Combine. That's coming up at 11. I hope that they don't do the 40 before Friday, because that'll be a question off Willie's pick six list, I'm sure. He's been chomping at the bit for the 40. So if it already happens, we may have a Kelly Holcomb moment if you still ask the question.
We don't want that.
If I know the answer, I'm going to top shelf it. I'm going to double top shelf it.
Sorry.
That was the best moment in Silly Underdog Picks.
That was a great moment.
Kelly picked a game that was already at halftime.
I remember that.
We're like, really?
We were in Barrel House.
He's like, oh, I didn't know. We're like, yeah.
Right. We were in Barrel House.
Yes.
Well, no, because I remember this vividly, because you guys are all, you know, the commissioners being the commissioner, and you were there, and I think I was picking for somebody that was absent. And I just remember kind of looking up and going, that game's already started. And then all of you realized it, and George goes, now hold on a second. Now, wait a minute.
Now, Kelly, look. We have integrity on this show. I think Kelly was picking one of those Mac games.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Starts
it was like
at it
was,
five.
It was Maction or something like that.
Four
that was,
or something. I don't know. It had some crazy early
like,
start.
Not only had it started, but it was in like the second quarter.
Oh, yeah. No, it was in the second. It was pushing halftime. We're like, really?
He's like, I didn't know. And George is like, that's a load of bull.
It looks like, and we are sifting through because this just came out, that Vanderbilt has released a strategic plan for athletics.
They have. And we're sifting. There's
a lot of sifting. Lots. Has anybody found anything that's jumped out to them?
They're renovating the football locker rooms. That's the one thing I found so far. Mainly because that was in the headline.
Well, that's, yeah.
Well, literally, we just saw this 2 minutes ago. Unless you're a speed reader, I don't know how you can go through it. It's 17 pages long. And, the outline is, stuff that, you and I could have put together.
Right.
We want academic and personal development. Yeah.
Athletic excellence.
So athletic excellence, yes.
This is what it says under athletic excellence. Training facilities provide the requisite training, development, and sports performance facilities as determined by the master facility plan. Competition facilities build or renovate competition venues as determined by the master facility plan to achieve the standard needed for impact. Okay, so let's... That I want more on. What does that mean? You're going to build a new football stadium. You're going to, build it. Are you going to redo Memorial? Like, how are you going to do that? Those are the two, the top two things. And then coaching staff and all that. But it's very in-depth. I'll give them that they've gone into some great detail with this of what they're wanting to do. But they have fundraising on here. That's something that's going to have to be a big part of this.
So this is all like, that's all like, okay.
It's all words.
It's all common sense.
It's all words.
That's all, well, duh.
So what are they going to do?
Well,
how are they going to do this?
Here's a category. Duh. I want to know what the actual plan is. Like, what are you going to do? What is the master plan?
It's a hard question because you have a chancellor who is quoted in here, full support, you know, but she's not going to be the chancellor in a few months. What's the new chancellor going to do? Is he on board with this? What's he going to do to back this plan? It's great to put it out there, but we'll see what the actions end up. There's nothing wrong with what they put out there.
No.
Nothing wrong.
It's just words right now, though.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
And the locker room's a good start. Now, you know, Jordan Rodgers has come in here and absolutely blown up the airwaves. Anybody who will listen that says that locker room needs a huge overhaul. So that's a good place to start. That's a great place to start.
No doubt. Are we?
So if you're going to prioritize something and something that is not going to cost $1 billion or something, okay. I get it. That's a good place to start. So,
well,
a
new football stadium would be a good place to start. But you know,
like I said, something that doesn't cost $1 billion.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
But look, and even if it was a big time renovation, you know, you would take that. But look,
what helps the program more in terms of getting the players that would put. That would make you want to come to any stadium. I think that
that's true. That's a good point.
Probably better off starting at the facilities. You know, that hopefully will attract a higher caliber of player. The football players don't sit in the stadium,
right?
The fan thing is a big thing. We know that, but the fans aren't going to come to watch a bad team. You got to have a good team so that people want to come.
If they built like a brand spanking new, not just you know redo McGugan, but if they built like a brand spanking new football complex that was, you know, weight rooms and locker rooms and things like that, that would go a long way. Because that's something that Jordan Rodgers has told us, Jordan Matthews has said, you know, that's the big thing is where the player, the meeting rooms and the locker room, the weight room, where the players constantly have to be, that's what's going to help with recruiting. So that's a very good point.
And honestly, I take all of this stuff and I try to simplify it. And it is football facilities. The rest of the facilities, basketball's got pretty good facilities. You ask me, anyway. They've put some resources behind it. Baseball's got pretty good facilities. The tennis complex, pretty nice complex. We've all played at Vanderbilt Legends. That's where the golf team plays. It's the football facilities.
Yeah.
Right? So let's be specific. And then the overall fan base. Got to improve the overall fan base. Now, the Vanderbilt baseball team, February, they had a weekend series against UIC, not exactly, you know, LSU, bringing a bunch of fans. They had great crowds. So, you know, they have fans there, but we're talking about you need the 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, the big numbers. So it's really a football issue when you get down to it, honestly.
Well, the fans is a basketball issue, too. It's not just a football issue.
But you've put resources, at least the previous athletic director, the guy has a 12-person staff.
Right, but that doesn't do anything for fan participation or, you know what
you
I mean?
You got to win.
True.
I mean, they were 0-1, what are they, 1-1 in, I don't even want to know.
Look, whatever you want to, I mean, they obviously gagged away Saturday. That was an awful loss. But I'll tell you what, the one thing you can't take away from this team that looks completely different is they're playing hard.
Yeah, they are.
Like, you
they
can
are.
Tell, like, they're all
yeah, you
in.
Can watch, you can watch them. I can always watch a team that is,
like,
is going to battle
in.
You.
Right, they're going to battle. Like, they're not, like, last year, it just got... At the end, it was
they weren't competitive.
They just, we're not even competitive. It was like they had definitely checked out.
But I still think Memorial Gym is a facility that is unique and you can recruit to. You can bring somebody in there and say, this place has history. This is a cool place to watch a game. Then you've got to put
it's
a product
cool.
on the court where people want to come, not in the summer.
Yeah.
It's fine during basketball season. No, it's fine. Yeah, I still don't know if I needed to spend money. I don't know if I would. I don't think air conditioning in the Memorial Gym is a big deal. I don't.
I do.
When's the last time you went to a game where you were like, "Oh, it's so hot in here"?
Was it tough for you when you played there? Like, I'm asking this seriously. Like, if it affects, because you're obviously running around. Like, if it
not
affects
the
players.
Now, the pickup ball in the summer. Yeah. We roasted, man. It was brutal.
I was at the MTSU Lightning Strike game, and they had everybody go to Memorial Gym. That
was
miserable.
Too.
Yeah,
it was a miserable experience.
But that's not, you're not going in there to see a game. You're sitting there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're an SEC school. You're an SEC school. You should have air conditioning. I mean, you shouldn't be sitting in there roasting like you're getting barbecued, okay, while you wait out a storm at a football game.
I guess it would be not nice. So you're saying put air conditioning in so that when there's lightning on the football game, everybody's all right?
No, it's just it's a nice thing to have. It's not the only time you're going to use it, Willie.
I know, but I'm just saying.
The gym is open 365 a year, right?
Yes.
People are in there 365 days out of the year.
We're talking about prioritizing, okay? There's a lot of other things I would address before that. Just because it's an old place. You don't play when you need air conditioning during the season. Now, in the summer basketball camp, yeah, it gets hot in there. And we used to play pickup all the time before but they have a practice gym now for the team to play in the warmer months, right? That's a nice practice gym. I don't think you need anything more than that.
I didn't even know they had that. Where is that?
It's attached to Memorial Gym. It didn't happen when I was there.
I guess what I'm getting at is it's an expensive fix, but it's a fix. And you're an SEC school, and you should just have that. I mean, we're in 2020. You should have air conditioning, okay, when needed. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
In a perfect world, yeah.
It's really not that hard. I mean, you're an SEC school. Okay. Have some air conditioning.
For the lightning delays.
Well, in that case, for me, yeah, I would have liked AC. Yeah, okay. I was miserable. So was my son, and so was my wife, and everybody else that was sitting in there roasting.
I was there.
You were in there, too?
Yeah, I was with you guys.
Oh, that's right. You were.
Thanks for remembering.
Well, no, that's right, because we talked about going down and shooting, but they wouldn't let us go
down
and shoot.
Yeah, they wouldn't go down.
Yeah. We'll come back and talk a little bit about what the Predators did last night and what it meant for the standings. We'll do that to close out the first hour of Darren, Donnie, and Chase next.
7 seconds remain. Shabbat. Down the left-wing corner, put it across in front. They couldn't get to it. Bonino sends the puck out, and that's going to do it. A scoreless third period. Predators win the game 3-2.
Two power play goals last night, huh?
Woo!
Isn't it amazing what that
celebration?
Can do?
Special teams, baby!
Holy moly!
You know, honestly,
wow! And one of them was a game winner.
I can think off the top of my head. I was thinking about this last night.
They had two penalty
home.
Kills too.
Well, okay. Well, let's take that. I can think of one other game off the top of my head. There's probably another one in there. Where they were outscored 5-on-5, but won the game because of special teams. That you can count it on one hand.
Eliminate Vancouver. So eliminate any of those games.
That's three.
That's three games.
Well, that
cross
didn't
them
happen.
Off the list.
Yeah. Tampa was the other one. Down in Tampa.
Yep.
They got some clutch power plays in that one, but that was an interesting game. That was not easy. And that Ottawa team was decimated by trades and injuries. And they were scrappy, and they outplayed the Predators in the first period. That's what is still head-scratching, I'm sure, for John Hines. Okay, guys, we got it done.
But
you got to be better. You got to be better. Now, this is progress, right?
What,
now, we're not talking about the Ducks.
Correct.
Who
to
came
their credit,
in here and
we're talking about a win.
And led for 60 minutes.
As opposed to
right.
a loss. That's
right.
the difference.
Right.
We're talking about 2 points. And so that... You're right. That is the biggest difference is, but in the end, it still is a matter of getting 2 points, and that's mission accomplished.
Right.
Last time I checked, there's not style points. And I know we talk about it on shows like this, but in the end, in fact, I think it was Rocco who said it on Saturday, and a lot of them have said it. I think Ekholm said it. Ryan Ellis said it to us last night in postgame. You know, they know. It's about just getting in. I mean, you just have to get in. And as we know in hockey, anything can happen.
True. And there's some other things I liked. Okay, the power play happens. They had the poise not to panic after they didn't like their first period.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. And then when they got the lead, they locked down pretty well. They didn't take the foot off the gas. They didn't add to the lead, but they played very soundly from there on. So that was a good thing as well. But you're still looking at a team that has another gear. They got to hit another gear, right? This making the playoffs is one thing, but the real goal is to make the playoffs going into it feeling like you have your game together and you can do some damage in the playoffs. They have the tools to do that, but they have not played that level yet.
I'm going to give you credit.
Still searching for it.
I'm going to give you credit for something. You stated the obvious, but I have definitely seen a difference. Having Ryan Ellis back is huge. I mean, it's huge.
I told you guys.
And you said that over and over again, but it has made a big difference in many, many ways, on the ice, off the ice. And I know he was around, but now you see that leadership that he brings. My whole thing that I also want to say, because I heard the guys, Robbie and Adam, this morning talking about it, and a lot of people have brought this up, and we've talked about it, of the comparisons of now and 16-17 when they went to the Cup Final. I get all that. There are a lot of similarities, but I also want everybody to be cautious and not look too far into that, because two different teams. And this team, by the standards that have been set by what they have done in the past and keeping this group together, is underachieving. So while you can say, all right, game 82, you get in, you know, they're in as the last seed or whatever, what have you, first wild card, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens can happen. You never know. This team is still underachieving. This team should still be competing for a division title and things like that, and they're not. So that needs to be taken into consideration as well. And don't just rely on, oh, well, what happened in 16-17? Two totally different teams.
Okay, I agree. The expectation level for this team was higher than that team. But I would also say that the upside of that is that this team has way more weapons. This team is a more talented team by far than the 2017 team, I think.
Yeah.
More experience.
That's the point.
More weapons. So who would you rather have going into the playoffs? I had a feeling.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't.
Like, I had a really good feeling.
Talent doesn't win playoff series.
I think there's
talent alone does not.
Talent alone does not win playoff series.
It's playing your best.
So what you're saying is true. We all know that. But if you're telling me, look, it's what John Hines has been preaching. Okay, it's about your heart. It's about what you bring.
And they're working on that.
When you get to the playoffs, dude, talent. Tampa last year was world beaters for 82 games. World beaters. And they got housed. I don't know if it was because they didn't show up. I don't know why it happened. We don't cover Columbus.
Columbus was pretty good.
But you know when you get to playoff hockey, man, it is talent is great, but talent is not what wins you series.
And this team
also,
always
– Columbus had talent. I mean, that's the thing. They had Bobrovsky.
They had
Panarin.
Of course.
They had Duchesne and all the guys that have done pretty well this year.
But,
right?
Let's just go back 3 years ago. Just think about it. Compare that 16-17 roster to the number one seed in the West who had won three Stanley Cups.
You had Harry
Z. Blackhawks roster, Predators, Vern Fiedler, Harry Z. Those –
Cody McLeod.
Look at those rosters.
Pontus Aberg.
Now you tell me, if you're sitting there looking at those rosters, and you're like, well, if you're going on talent, this is four.
But
I guess maybe give them a game. This will be in five. Right?
No,
if we're just going a talent observation.
It's a weird feeling, though, because I felt like going into that series against the Blackhawks where it all started, that they had a really good chance.
The three of us picked them to win.
Yeah.
Now, you may have thought we were crazy,
but the three of us picked them to beat
the Blackhawks.
The way they were
but
playing
we were thinking
going
like
in.
Six or seven. Yeah. We weren't thinking. Well,
it doesn't matter.
We weren't that crazy.
But we were. Remember, nobody was picking them, and rightfully so.
But can you not make the argument, had that gone six or seven, that the playoffs could have changed? I think there was something taken away from sweeping. I'm like, holy crap, we just went in and swept the number one seed. Like,
yeah. So your confidence boost.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, there's definitely something to
Although
that.
It didn't work for Columbus. I would have thought the same thing. I would have thought, man, you do that, watch out. This team may be going to at least the Eastern Conference
well,
final.
Did you not think the Jets would go on and win the whole thing after they beat the Predators the next year?
That's the point that I'm about to make. I think Peter Laviolette was really, really good at getting the most out of a team that didn't have the best talent. You had a lot of the guys that we consider to be very talented players now. They were young. They hadn't gone through the grind yet. he was really good at motivating those guys. And I think he got the most he possibly could out of them. And that was something that this franchise had kind of been built on of, all right, well, we're a lowly expansion team and nobody's really given us much credit. We're flying under the radar. That's when they've been at their best. Now they've had to adjust of actually being in the spotlight. And there has been an adjustment period. We've seen it. You know, they went and won the President's Trophy, but then they got knocked out in a tough seven-game series by Winnipeg. Last year, we know what happened. So they've had to learn from those different experiences. I'm not saying that if they get in game 82 or what have you, that they're not going to go far. I definitely think they'd be dangerous because of what Willie said and you've said of them having more talent than they did 3 years ago. But they're just going through that whole – they're still learning how to win and how to be – the team to beat. I think that that's been a tougher process than people really thought it would be.
I think are you playing your best when the playoffs start? That is the most important thing, right? If you're, everybody has their level of best. I don't think we've seen this team's best for any lengthy time. Just a game
fair.
Here, a game there. But they're, if they can find it.
I say October.
If they can find
October
it.
October was their best.
But they were giving up a lot of goals in
true,
October.
Very
you know,
true.
They
were
they
scoring
won the games.
A lot, and so they were masking problems.
Right. They still didn't look to me like, boy, I mean, like they could. Their high level was really good. It was just trying to fight. They're still trying to hit that balance. Their defense is much better right now.
And to your point, the Calgary game to close out that month was the tipping point.
Yes.
They gave up six goals.
And
they scored five and didn't win.
Isn't it interesting who's coming in here on Thursday?
Yep, no doubt about it. Doug in Franklin. Doug, what's up?
Hey, guys, great show. So two observations about the Preds for me. First of all, their legs. The speed that I thought they used to have is not there, whether it's Forsberg, Arvey. They're getting cut off at the pass when they're trying to make their moves. I don't know if you've noticed it, but they just don't seem to have the speed or the legs that they used to have, number one. And then the other thing is around, I call it unforced errors. They're passing when they're trying to break out of their own zones horrible. They're still making silly mistakes, and I think the league has figured out that if you put pressure on our guys coming out of our zone, we really struggle. I mean, it seems like we panic. We don't make the sharp pass. We make turnovers that last night we should have beat that team by four or five goals just based on the talent level out there, but we're still making those silly mistakes. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
All right, Doug, thank you.
That's a good point. They should have, but they didn't.
I think you would have liked to, and it was disappointing. I'll tell you, it was frustrating that first period, especially the last few minutes. And Chris Mason said this. He said they're working hard, right? They just weren't playing smart. They weren't working smart. They were making decisions that were not the right decisions. And the caller, I think, is right. The going through the neutral zone. When you're playing a team like Ottawa that was kind of jamming up, they were backing up, they were waiting for you to try to make the fancy play, and they were jumping on turnovers and going back the other way and getting chances. So there's working hard and working smart. I do think having Ellis with the whole moving out of your own zone, that's an area of expertise for him. The longer he's back in there, that should get better.
The three of us used to work with a guy here that used to say, work smarter, not harder. You know who I'm talking about? You yes. say it all the time.
Yep.
Work smarter, not harder.
It's true.
To your point, to what you were just talking about. Then.
Yeah.
They adjusted. They got better in the second period. Got it done. I think to a man. I think they would all tell you there's another gear there.
Sure.
There's another gear that they've got to keep searching for.
And I do believe they're close to finding it.
Well,
I really do.
And what have we said all along? Like, while they were... It was very quietly happening. Nobody wants to criticize the goalie, especially your own players. You will never hear a player, I don't care what team you're talking about, say, yeah, our goalies aren't doing the job. People don't say that, right? That's not what a team does. But Pekka-Rinne and Juuse Saros are clearly playing both a lot better.
No doubt.
Right?
Yep.
That is helping a lot. They're defending better in front of them, but those guys are making saves for sure.
We will come back and head up to Indianapolis. Talk about the combine with Teron Davenport. We do that next.